Hey everyone, your designers are here. I'm Anita from Cedar Hill Farmhouse.
And I'm Yvonne from Stone Gable.
And I'm Kelly from My Soulful Home.
We've got tips, tricks, and decorating advice, so let's get started.
Hey everybody, today we are in episode 17 already, and specifically, Woo-hoo! We're in the kitchen, and we all like to be in the kitchen.
Oh, I love the kitchen.
Love the kitchen. That's
my
exactly
kitchen,
right.
Yeah, my current kitchen is my favorite place in the whole world. Mm-hmm. I'm loving my kitchen. And I think everybody loves the kitchen. It's mm-hmm. the room where your family comes together, and lots of good things happen, right?
Family, that's where the food is.
Well, yeah. Well, my family sniffs out the food and shows up there all the time.
And this is such a trite thing, but it really is the heart of the home.
Mm-hmm. True.
It just is. It's like the heartbeat of my house.
It really is. I mean, I wonder, because I do cook a lot, and I know you ladies do too. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it feels the same for people who don't cook, because I think you still would. I mean, even if you're not making it yourself, you're in the kitchen.
Do I need to repeat myself? That's where the food is.
Yeah.
That's where the food is.
Okay. I'll tell you, if I could say one spot in my home that everybody gathers, it would be around my island. I can have guests come over. I can have a dinner party, something formal, and they don't stay in the living room. Everybody comes and plunks themselves around my island.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. It's interesting about human nature, how they mm-hmm. do that. Okay, so today we're going to talk about our kitchen must-haves and share with you some of the things that we really wouldn't want to live without in our kitchens. So I'll kick it off with excellent lighting. We already have a podcast out there that talks in specifics about all kinds of lighting, mm-hmm. including under-counter kitchen lighting. But today I'm talking about adding a table lamp to your kitchen. Mm-hmm. I think it changes what could be a fairly utilitarian room, mm-hmm. that's a hard word to say, and changing it into a much cozier space, mm-hmm. and lighting up maybe a dark corner somewhere. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of having some decor that would be in a living room or a study or a bedroom and bringing it into the kitchen, I think it adds a whole nother level to the decor in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. So Kelly, are you talking about on your countertop underneath the cabinets or someplace where there's no upper cabinets?
Yeah, I have actually two in the kitchen here now. Mm-hmm. And in my prior kitchen, I had one. And that one and one in the current kitchen mm-hmm. is under the counter. So, between the marble and the bottom of the cabinet, I mean, obviously you have to be aware of the height when you're choosing a mm-hmm. lamp like that. But I just had one that I loved from a different room, and I moved them around until I found one. Mine's kind of squat, and mm-hmm. it has a burlap-y linen shade, and I don't have a very high wattage bulb in it, so I'm not worried about mm-hmm. it having any issues with the wooden cabinet on top.
But the heat.
You want to leave some space, but boy, just putting that on, and I have it, where the switch is on the cord, so you just sort of switch it on. The cord is tucked behind it, so you can't see that, and I have a mm-hmm. few, I have a little picture and a few other little things vignetted around the lamp, and I just love that space. And that's the light that I go to when I first come down in the morning, and it just puts a little warm glow. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of having something that may not necessarily be thought of as a kitchen item mm-hmm. in the kitchen, I think makes it more of a room like people are using it. Mm-hmm. As Yvonne said, people are gravitating towards the kitchen, so why not make that's it comfy right. and cozy like all the other rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have lamps in your kitchen?
Well, I don't, but I have the under cabinet lights, and I don't have a lot of places to put a lamp. So, but I have in the past had a lamp in there. Mm-hmm. I love the idea.
So do I. And I do have a lamp. It comes and goes depending on what little bit of decor I do put in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. It comes and goes depending on what I have in my kitchen, but I do. I have it tucked away in a corner, and it gives such a pretty little mm-hmm. glow. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
Do you guys put anything else that might not necessarily be thought of as a kitchen item in your kitchen?
Artwork. Well, I like the idea of it. I don't know that I have anything specific. Yvonne?
Artwork.
Oh, yes.
I like having some artwork in my kitchen. And even if it's not traditional artwork, but I have a couple signs that are really fun.
Oh, great idea.
I have one over by my coffee station that is, I have a very farmhousey kitchen with beadboard between my cabinets and my soapstone. And it is, it talks about coffee, and it's just so cool. And it's sort of rusty and fun, but it does give you that, okay, it's not just so utilitarian. This is sort of fun, something that you call attention to. And at one point, I had some really cool postcards, because they're not too big, that I framed in some really cool frames and used them in my kitchen.
Great idea.
Yeah, they're not too big. I'm certainly not opposed to even putting some pretty traditional art in the kitchen. Again, Kelly, I think it warms up your kitchen. It gives it more of a room look. It gives you something to look at on the walls except your cabinetry. So, it just goes that little extra mile to make it unique, personal, and also feeling more like a room.
Oh, great idea, Yvonne. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorites to have in my kitchen is actually more of a kitchen item, but it's to have some big wooden bowls or big vintage mixing bowls. I just love the look. It just looks like you're getting ready to mix up a big pie or cake. So I love it also kind of feels like grandma's kitchen. But I also love to fill them with pears and apples and oranges and just all kinds of fruit, so people can walk in and grab, you know, something to eat. It's beautiful and colorful with the fruit in it, so that you've got the visual feast for the eyes, but also you can come have a snack, a healthy snack.
A twofer.
Yes.
So Anita, when the bowls don't have lovely fruits or something in them, do you just stack them up and leave them out on the counter?
No, I just kind of leave them empty, I guess. I mean, you certainly could put some pine cones, we've talked about that, or other things, or moss balls or something in them, but sometimes I just leave them empty.
No, I like that, too. I one of the things that I like to have in my kitchen is a big stack of white platters, and so I've collected them from, you know, vintage ones, and then some other ones, you know, I might have picked up, you know, at some retail shops, and I just like the way it looks, and it adds a bit of interest. I have them on a shelf in the kitchen where you can easily see them, but you can easily grab them. And I'm always, I find myself grabbing them almost daily. You know, you know, I wash some strawberries and let them dry on there, or somebody's, you know, I make cookies, or the kids bring something home and you want to put it out on a platter, and it just looks pretty on the table.
I love those stacks of the oval ironstone platters. Oh, I have gorgeous. A huge stack of them, too. And I have them in my plate racks on the wall. Just love them.
And a really inexpensive thing to collect, and it's functioning, too.
I think a savvy home decorator, especially when it comes to being in the kitchen, uses their dishes as decor.
Yes. Yeah, yes, beautiful. And I have a lot of dishes in my glass front cabinets as well, and I love the look of dishes everywhere, but that's a whole nother episode.
That's a whole nother episode, girls. Another thing that I just can't get enough of in a kitchen is some kind of plant. I love organic things, especially if they're herbs.
Great
idea.
You
know, just to put them in a little, I love to take just cheap terracotta pots and whitewash them or paint them white, and then stick herbs in them, especially winter going into spring. I'm just so itching to dig in the dirt and to have herbs, and they look so pretty sitting in your kitchen. And also just even herbs from a store, just get a whole bunch of them if it's not the season. I have tons in my garden, but it's not the season, and I just put them in a white pitcher, and they look beautiful too. So something organic, something really pretty. I'm not into like real trellisy type of plants in my kitchen because they just take up too much counter space. But something like an herb that sits upright, oh, so pretty.
Well, and Yvonne, I'm going to add that those herbs, like my bowl idea, that's a twofer also, because you can use those in your cooking. So just snip off what you need of your herb for the cooking. So I love that idea.
When I have my garden, I have tons of herbs, and I have a significant size herb garden, and literally I go out every day and grab handfuls of different kinds of herbs, put them in a big pitcher, and I use them as decor, but also when I cook they go over to where I'm cooking, and I just can use what I have out in the garden that's fresh.
Well, yeah, aren't you quite the statement. Julia child?
Oh, I love it. No, that's more like Thomas Jefferson. He used to
do yes, that too.
Yes. That's right.
Thomas Jefferson. My girls are even used to it because I'm always buying basil if, you know, we don't have it growing here too. And even a frozen pizza, you know, I'll make up a frozen pizza for them and they ask, well, where's the basil? You know, if I don't have one, they're always wanting to snip a little basil series.
But
there.
You can wait a minute, grow is this pizza basil decor? Where you are.
Pizza decor, yeah.
Yeah. You can grow basil where you are, can't you, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, we can grow it, but not right now. It's, you know, everything's
Yeah, because it is such a tender herb,
yeah,
you're right.
Right now, the rosemary and whatnot's outside. Mm. So now that we're delving into the foodie, I wanted to share one food item that it's an absolute must-have in my kitchen. I learned about it when I first moved to California. I had taken a cooking class with some friends, and it was such a fun class. It would be there were three of us, and then you mixed in with maybe another group of three or four people, and we went down to this really interesting area in LA. It used to be an old brewery, and there were all different sort of artists and all different kinds of studios, and this woman had her cooking school in there, and we had about four or five sessions over the course of a month, and she would teach us how to cook the meal, and then we would all sit down and eat it together and drink wine.
And I've taken some classes like that. They're so much fun.
It is so much fun. And, you know, whereas I maybe made a few of the recipes, but the one big takeaway was this sea salt that this woman used. And it's called Maldon. Yes, I will. It's called Maldon. And it's really a flaky sea salt. And I'm actually, I used to have to go to a specialty shop to get it. And now I'm seeing it in my, like, regular basics where you get like the TP and the paper towels type of grocery store. So I think it's maybe spreading itself a little further and wider. So it's called Maldon, Maldon, and it is really the best salt. It elevates.
Is it a finishing salt?
It's a finishing salt, yes, and it's really flaky and crunchy and potent, so you don't really want to use too much of it. It is been around since 1882. This family in Essex in the UK, they developed Maldon, and they still use the same process drying it very organically, and you know, then they wash the salt, so it's really just being dried by the sun and the wind, and it evaporates, and then they do their cleaning, and there's no processing or anything like that. But you know, it's they clean it all, and then I use it, you know, on pasta, on fish, on chicken, almost everything. I keep a little, it's actually, you know, fairly large for a salt cellar, but it's an old silver sugar bowl with a lid. So I keep
pretty.
It lidded just on the top of my stove. And so I'm always putting it on the table. Every night we're using sprinkles of it. And I'm telling you, whoever would try it, phenomenal.
Well, I'm going to Amazon because I am such a salt lover.
Are you? Okay.
Oh my goodness. I think that if people would just know how to salt food properly, it would taste so much better. And that sounds wonderful.
Well, and I use the Himalayan salt. And
Is that the one that's pink a little bit?
Yes, it's pink, and it's so healthy for you. It's got so many, I guess, minerals in it. They just keep touting it, and it doesn't have as much sodium as regular table salt.
Oh, wow.
So all these salts are just so wonderful, you know, if you're using kind of the more natural versions. And I've noticed they just like have the one that I use just has a lighter flavor, and it really is. I think people should do a taste test. It is much better than just your regular table salt. It's a much better flavor.
It's a world of difference. You know, I still have the regular salt, and I'll put that in my boiling water for pasta or whatnot and cook with that. But, you know, this, I don't know if the Himalayan, I think that's also a finishing salt. So you're really talking about sort of the end when you're going to serve, or, you know, let your family or your friends sprinkle on, you know, to
Although,
their taste.
I will say, this isn't about salt, but you're supposed to add salt while you're cooking so that when you add the finishing salt, you don't need as much.
That's exactly right. People do not do that. And I can the minute I taste food, I'm thinking, this wasn't salted. Because you can't put enough salt on it to make up for that.
No, that's true. Can't. And then it just tastes too salty, like potato chips.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're speaking of food, so I'm going to add another thing that I can't live without in my kitchen, and that's cookbooks.
Oh, now, she stole the cookbooks.
I read cookbooks like they're romance novels. It's like a page turner. I love them. But, you know, I don't necessarily just use them for reading. I decorate with them. Mm, cookbooks are wonderful. I've opened shelves and I stack them and then put plates on top of that. Or I have like a little metal cart on the one side of my island that I keep my shallots and my onions and things in, and my garlic.
What was that? Shallots?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the lady from Shallot?
Because I say shallots.
I say shallots.
I say shallots. You say shallots. Mm-hmm.
My sister is a chef, and she worked for...
You know, that's not the one that Lisa makes the slip.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, we know about her.
She's a chef.
She's multifaceted, multi-talented. Wow. But anyway, she's worked for many, you know, different restaurants. She had her own catering business for a long time, and she says shallots. So I'm saying shallots.
I'm going to say shallots for now. And everyone who's listening,
of course, I'm saying it now. It sounds like
all say because shallots.
Because my sister Lisa, shout out to Lisa. Hi, honey.
Hey,
says
Lisa.
It. But hey, I have a little cart, and you can use cookbooks. They're just beautiful as risers and fillers, and they look pretty. They're very decorative, and it's even fun. I mean, I know to have like a cookbook stand and to have a really pretty picture out.
Well, and I have all these special memories with specific cookbooks, so I need to set them out because I'm thinking, oh, I had that special meal from that book and this meal from that one, and so-and-so came over when we had that meal. So,
do you write in your cookbooks?
Sweet.
I say, like, you add this instead, or, you know, I always write my ideas in it.
Actually, what I do is every time I make a recipe, I have my own personal cookbook. So every time I make a recipe, I copy it and put it in my personal cookbook. And I've been working on this for like 15 years. And so it is very extensive. If I've made it and it's good, it's in there. And then I put all my personal notes on it. And here's the cool thing. When I'm out of town and we're maybe renting a house somewhere, I can pull up that recipe on my phone. I don't have to remember which cookbook it's in. It's all there.
Well, you know what? I want you to lug that big cookbook to the next time I see you and we're together.
Yeah, we're going to share. Oh, wait,
I'll just email it to you.
Okay, I know this is not about cookbooks. This is about what we have in our kitchen we can't live without. So I think all three of us can't live without cookbooks.
Oh, yeah,
don't think of them as cookbooks. Think of them as ways to decorate. They're functional. I love it. They're functional and fabulous.
Oh, yes.
And I love vintage cookbooks, and I'm always have my eye out for vintage cookbooks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so, you know, the different spines and all that. And I love to look at them, you know, how many recipes have I seen for aspic? You know, who's making that anymore?
Yes, but, you know, besides Julia Child, right?
Exactly. But, you know, it says it's such, or, you know, 52 ways with Jell-O. You know, those are so funny. I have a friend who collects the... you know how people, for years, and I think, you know, fundraisers, schools and whatnot still do this, but like ladies clubs or churches would put together cookbooks from their members.
Yeah.
And then those are the best ones.
Yeah, they would sell them, and usually they have that little plastic binding and whatnot. I love, and you can find those at a yard sale or something.
My favorite cookbook here.
They are rib sticking recipes, aren't they?
Yes.
My favorite here was written by Ann Criswell, and she was a writer for the Houston Chronicle, and she would write about all the best restaurants. And do you know she got all these restaurants, the best in town, and got their best recipes, and she has a cookbook of these best recipes from these like top-notch restaurants and
chefs.
Can you
bring that too with you?
Yes, it's amazing.
Oh my goodness, we just may have to have a get together and bring our best cookbooks and sit in a hotel room for a weekend.
No, we rent a house. So we have a kitchen
with a big kitchen, and then we try them.
When I go away, I just want—I like room service.
Cookbooks for, honey?
We'll bring them to your room. Yeah, they're just
reading
for
them like romance novels. Come on,
they're just for reading.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my!
Just right. Reading material.
Can we put our favorites in the show notes so our listeners can get a lead?
Yes,
them.
what a good idea! Yeah, you'll want to get those show notes. What won't you put in a kitchen?
Well, I, you know, another thing I love putting in a kitchen are these big breadboards. They're so hot right now. They're just so beautiful.
Yes.
And they just look like, you know, to me, the south of France or Italy or something. Mm-hmm. So I have a collection of about three large vintage ones, some rectangular, some round. And I have them actually over my range hood way above my stove where they're not going to catch on fire.
Beautiful.
But, and then I have some smaller ones with like a marble cutting board on top of my countertop. Mm-hmm. And then I have some little antique mustard jars with them too, some little French mustard jars.
Oh, pretty,
pretty. Oh, I love it. And you know, and that lends such a warmth. And you're talking about either you have granite or you have marble. If you have some sort of hard counter, and then you know you have your especially if your kitchen is painted white or not a wood toned, to bring in that nice wood is such a nice addition to it. Okay, so Yvonne brought up something about what you won't put, have in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like my kitchen to be, I just don't like clutter. So,
oh, me too.
That's why we're talking about what you must-haves in your kitchen. And there are a few things, but for the most part, I'm all about getting stuff out of my kitchen because I can't stand too much on the counter. So
I'm right there with you.
So when we had our house built in our pantry, I had our builder put in a granite countertop in the pantry with plugs. So that's where the mixer, the coffee maker, and the toaster, they're all in there. Now we unplug,
smart.
You know, the toaster when we're not using it, you know, just for, because there's no fire hazard that way. But that's where they are, and they do not mess up my counter, and I feel all uncluttered.
That's me. I will not have big, like small kitchen appliances other than my coffee maker, because my Keurig, I use that all the time. But I don't put any of my appliances out because I don't use them enough, and I have them tucked away in drawers that are very easy access.
Well, that Keurig gets used every day, but I make my husband go in the pantry to use it.
Oh.
Go in the closet, Kevin.
That's you know what else I have in the pantry?
That is a fabulous idea.
I actually put our printer in the pantry, too, to get it, just because I don't want to have to look at it. Well, you know, we're bloggers. We're taking photos. And so I couldn't even shoot one direction in my study. So I put it in the pantry.
Good for
you. Wow, good for you.
Well, we're definitely all on the same page or on the same counter with this, because I don't like to have a lot of things. And I mean, if it's going to be on my counter, it's more likely that it's going to be pretty and functional.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a gadget girl. You know, frankly, I think you can do 98% of the things in the kitchen with a sharp knife. So
absolutely.
You know, I have my good knife set out there.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
But I'm not like, ooh, look at this super duper, you know, peeler, chopper, da da. I don't have that kind of stuff. So I have a few things. Because I just did my kitchen, you know, within the last year, I have a couple of things to share. One thing I cannot abide by is the outlets along the backsplash.
Ah, and how did you handle that?
I have them.
I know. What did you
do? Most people do, and I don't mean to be disparaging in any way. If anyone has that, I had to go leaping over obstacles to not have that.
No,
so what did
you
do?
Under the cabinet? Because I have them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I did the general contracting, but I wasn't.
Everything's wireless in her house, apparently.
Well, wireless is a fantasy, which is not really true, because things come and Peter will say, well, it's wireless. I'm like, but there are wires coming out of it. But I see the wires. You're not kidding me. I see the wire. But let's get back to the kitchen. So what I said to the marble guy and the kitchen cabinet guy and the electrician was, I do not want to see these outlets. And, you know, per electrician code, I mean, you know, obviously
you have to put quite a few in.
Them.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be every, you know, like 3 feet or something.
Yes,
you're supposed to have an outlet, because they don't want you dragging a cord or putting an extension cord with your blender
so
and
where did
blowing
you put
your
them?
House up. So I did plug molds.
What
Wait
is
a minute.
That?
What is that?
A plug mold, M-O-L-D, is something that you can get really inexpensively at an electrician's supply store, or your electrician can get them for you, and they come in black and white and some sort of taupey color. So it's just a strip of outlets, and I mounted them under my cabinets right behind my under counter lighting, so you cannot see them. And then I didn't do tile, I did the marble, on the backsplash. So it's marble, and then it's marble on the vertical, and then it meets my cabinets.
Words, they're hidden up underneath your
cabinet. They're hidden up underneath, and a plug mold is probably 1.5 to 2 inches wide, and get them in. One of mine is a 6-foot run, and then I have another one over where we do have the toaster, but it's tucked in between the my refrigerator and my freezer are two separate units, which I love. And tucked in between is a little counter space, and so the toaster does live there, and it's a pretty toaster. And I'm not a coffee drinker. I do tea, and I have an Instahot.
Me too.
And Peter uses a French press, so there's no we have very little plugging, but you know,
very
you
little
need to
pluggage.
Plug,
I like that.
Well, the other, that is
so
brilliant.
You know, I plug in maybe the can opener, or I'll plug in, you know, a blender occasionally, but I'm not in the need, and I have my little lamp plugged in up
well,
there.
You know, can we put that in the show notes?
Yes,
because actually, I'm thinking about redoing my backsplash, and this is another thing. I think that when we're talking about kitchens, you do have to update and keep tweaking a kitchen. You know, some people do over their kitchen, and then they don't do it for 15 years, and it's like, oh my goodness, now the whole thing needs to be done.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about redoing my backsplash, and we could rewire that.
Yeah, and
easily.
Then you probably, you know, I'm not an electrician, but then you mean you have the electric there, and they can probably close off those boxes and just hardwire in the
plugs.
Yes.
The other
Let
thing,
me tell you one more thing before we maybe get off this refresher.
No, I have another outlet thing I was going to say, but you finish.
Oh, go ahead. Give me your outlet thing.
Well, I was just going to say the other thing you can do is what I did with my outlets was turn them sideways down low.
Down low. So on the down low is better. Yeah,
so
then you don't see them either.
Yeah, so that if you have something in front of it, like a mixer, you don't see the cord at all because it's behind.
Right.
So you want your outlets to be on the down low.
Well, down low. And then if you have a bowl or something, see, I put a bowl in front of it, and then you can't see the outlet that's not being used. It covers it up, see?
No, that's a really good idea, too. And see, that's just, you know, if you're renovating something, it's so good to not only, you know, do all your research, but be there, because I'm telling you, no matter how great your electrician is or your carpenter or whatever, they're not going to think, oh, let me put this down low, because normally they just slap it right in the middle.
Well, they don't even think about it. The other thing I did was in our island, and it's a big island, and you have to have the outlets there too because of the electrical code. They're actually underneath, so you do not see them at all.
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, something
wonderful
I do
tips.
Like to use my KitchenAid mixer, which I really, really love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's heavy, and it's not something that I use often, but, you know, I use it enough. And I got a red one, and my kitchen is not red. My kitchen was red in the other house.
Mine's
white.
Spray painted.
There you go,
painted.
That color thing.
Mine's white.
Get you again.
Right, so either you keep it in a cupboard where you have to like dig in the back and drag it out, and you know it's got to weigh. I mean, you know, I work out, and that thing's heavy. I mean, that's got to weigh like 25 pounds.
Yeah,
or something.
It's heavy.
So here's what we did. There was a narrowish cabinet, and I found in that my cabinet guy gave me his book of like all these things. You know, you pull out for the trash, and you know, it was a book like that. It had sort of, you know, these things that you could put inside your cabinets, and you had me look through it to see what I needed, and I didn't even know I needed this until I saw it. So what it is it's kind of like a little swing almost. It's a shelf, but it's on brackets, so my KitchenAid mixer sits on it. I just pull the shelf, and it comes up, and it locks itself in place. So now it's, you know, it's standing out from the open cabinet, but it's on its own little shelf.
That you don't have to move it, and you can use it from there.
Great idea.
Yes, and there's a plug inside the cabinet, so it's already plugged in.
Smart.
Awesome.
Ooh, I've gotten a lot of tips from you.
that's what we're here for.
Yeah. I know. And I've got one more.
Okay. Bring it on.
And that is... to have some silverware, and it doesn't even have to be silverware you're using, but I love having vintage silverware, and I keep it in an old ironstone pitcher in my kitchen, and it just is beautifully decorative. And again, it's another one of those twofers. You can pull the silverware out and use it, and I will tell you, I do every morning when I have my tea, I have to have a silver spoon, and they're just thinner. And they're just nicer when you're having once you start using the silver
spoons. Nita Jean, you are the fanciest French girl I have ever met.
Okay. Okay.
I want to be you.
If you don't know about this, that was from our last podcast. You might want to listen to that story. It's absolutely amazing.
Yes, we learned Anita's real name and really how to pronounce it from her mom.
Well, girls, we're almost done. I'm just gonna leave with one more, and then we're gonna have to go.
Okay.
I know. Say it ain't so, but it is. I also like to use large jars, glass jars with glass lids, to keep my flour, my granola, my sugar, and I usually have a fourth one that I do something either seasonal or I keep if it's around Halloween. I keep candy in it or summer.
That's a fun idea.
And then instead of using scoops, I get antique cups.
Ah, yes.
It's a great idea. And most cups are literally a true cup measure.
Oh, really? Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, not the big giant ones, but if you get the older ones, many of them are true one cup measures, so they're even just fun to use and measure with, too.
I love that idea. I think I stole that from you a long time ago.
And they're just so much fun. I mean, it's just such a fun, fabulous and functional. I'm so into that. All right, but it's time for us to go, and we just want to tell all of our listeners thank you for tuning in and listening to us, and we're here to inspire you to create a beautiful home. Until next time.
Hey there. If you're loving our podcast like we're loving our podcast, we would love you to rate and review us. Head to iTunes to do that. It's easy, and it would mean so much to us. And if you do rate and review us, we're going to enter you to win a fantastic giveaway. The details for the giveaway are in the show notes for this episode, and you can find the show notes at decoratingtipsandtricks.com.